your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. This morning, we continue our study in the book of Galatians, and we've been preaching through the fruit of the Spirit. We have been taking more time with the fruit of the Spirit than we did the works of the flesh. Though we did take our time through the works of the flesh, because that's why our world is in such a shape it is in. But, you know, we want to have the right outlook of the Lord on things. You know, if you're not careful, the bad news will be the news that you emphasize. There's plenty of bad news in the world. I'm sure there's probably some bad news in your life. But, you know, the best thing in the world to do is look at the good news. Look at the answer. And so there's not a great need to just continually belabor the bad in our lives and the wickedness that surrounds us and the pitfalls. But if we can look into the answer for those things, and the answer for all the things of the works of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit. The answer for all the destruction that the devil and sin does in our lives and society is that God's Spirit can do something different in you. God can make you a different person. Aren't you glad for that? And this morning, we continue our study. We've come to the sixth word in this fruit of the Spirit. Let's read together Galatians 5:22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's pray together. Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart? Heavenly Father, we don't want to just gather in your name and then do nothing with what you seek to feed us. And we're glad that you do lead and feed your sheep. And Lord, there are people here that name the name of Christ that need help today. And Lord, I'm convinced you have all the help that we need. So may we open our hearts, God, and may you feed us and give us understanding of what we're reading today, what we're studying today, what we're preaching about, what we find in the Bible. May it find a tender place in our hearts that it can bring forth fruit. And Lord, again we pray for that individual that's in the building this morning, maybe in some of the other services on the property, God, that they're at church, but they're not saved. They're not in Christ. I pray today they would see their need and that they could never find love and joy or peace or any of these things unless they come to you and let you save them and change their life. And Lord, we'll be eternally grateful for all that you do for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our word today is the word goodness. Goodness. At a cursory glance, you may say, well, that's not a big subject. That's not, you know, that's just a very simple idea. I don't think it really is. The more I've studied goodness, the more I understand that it does take the Spirit of God to produce it in your life. Most people think that they can just be good and have goodness in their lives just by effort. That's not true. Because goodness, just like all these other things, are God characteristics. In other words, love is of God, and you can't have real love without having God. And peace and joy and all these things that we preach on are things that belong to God. They're in God's character. They're not in my character. They're not in your character. But God Almighty can impart that to you. He can bring that to you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So the first thing I want to talk to you, and I think we have to preface it, because if we don't get past this first thing, we'll never really understand how goodness can come out of our lives and God, how God wants it to come out of our lives. The first thing I want you to say this morning is that God is good. God is good. And I'm not going to try to talk you into that this morning, because there are so many people that do not believe that God is good. But they are sadly mistaken, and maybe if we can look at some of these verses this morning, we can understand how good God really is. God is good. And thereby, if I want goodness to come out of my life, the more I get of God, the more that good God can show himself through my life. The reason that people's lives aren't good is not because of this, that, and the other. It's just because of a lack of connection with God. Because God is the good one. God is the one that produces the goodness. Everything about God is good. When you think about God's grace, boy, what a good thing. When you think about God's mercy, what an immeasurably good thing that is. That God would give mercy to you. That's His goodness that shows you mercy. That's His goodness that gives you grace. It's His goodness that allows us love and peace in our lives. The goodness of God, I'd say being saved is a very good thing. I'm so glad that I'm saved this morning. It's so good to be saved. And that's because God brought His goodness in my life when He saved my soul. If you're not saved this morning, you're missing out on the goodness of God. You're missing out on the good part of life. And not just God is good in life, God's good for eternity. He gives us good things eternally. Eternal life that He has provided. Heaven, what a good place heaven is. What a wonderful place that God's prepared for those that come to Christ and have received Him. God's just a good God. He's not dealt with us after our sins. He's dealt with us in goodness. And I want you, if you take your Bible to Psalm chapter 27, I want to relate some of these things to you. You say, preacher, I know God is good. Well, I'm fixing to read a verse to you. You know the reason that we faint in life, the reason we quit, we give up, we get discouraged, is because we miss sight of the goodness of God. If you are discouraged, if you are faint, if you want to quit doing what God wants you to do, it's because you've missed sight of the goodness of God. People that are discouraged, people that are depressed, cannot see the goodness of God. Look at, he says in Psalm chapter 27, watch it, verse 13. Look at it now. This is a Psalm of David. David was such a mighty man, David was. But David said in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, I would have fainted, I had fainted, unless for the fact that I really believed that God was good and God was showing goodness to me in my life and He would continue to do so in the land of the living. You will faint if you do not see the goodness of God. Your life will be discouraged if you do not see the goodness of God. And too many times, what we do, we don't count the goodness of God, we count the failures of life. Too many times we don't look at the goodness of God in our lives, we look at the heartache that has come in our lives. We look at the difficulty, the problems. And David said, I had just fainted, I'd quit, I'd been out. But what happened? I believed that God was a good God and He would continue to show His goodness to me. He said in Psalm 31 and verse number 19, oh, how great is thy goodness. He's overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord. He said in Psalm 52 and verse number 1, he said, the goodness of God endureth continually. You know the good thing about God? He's not just good for a little while. He's good continually. Somebody says, well, I don't think He's been as good to me as I... No, look, if He gave you what you deserved, you'd never have a good thing in your life. You'd go to hell and stay there. But God is a good God. He didn't want to send anybody to hell. He didn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants to continually be good to you. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, the Bible says in verse 5, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I think sometimes people look at the earth and they disconnect it, especially lost people, they disconnect it from the God that made it. In other words, they want to enjoy the creation, they want to enjoy the world, and they love the trees and the owls and the snail darters and the fish and the breeze and the mountains and all the green grass and the wonderful environment. But they don't understand, you can't enjoy that without connecting it with the God that made it. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's full of the goodness of God. You remember when God made everything? And he stepped back and he looked at it and he said, that's good. I mean, those animals running around, all shapes and sizes. You know what a boring world it would be if man had his way in the world? I mean, we don't even have a big enough imagination to make all the animals God made. I mean, there's some weird animals out there, man. I mean, there's fat ones, there's skinny ones, there's animals that run fast, there's ugly animals. There's animals that are so quick, and then there's these weird, I forget what that monkey or whatever that moves so slow, you know. Sloth. Oh, you've been watching the channel, have you? Look at monkeys, all it's funny stuff. I mean, God's made a wonderful world. You know why? So you can step back and say, wow, that's good. I mean, the lion roar and the deer jumping and all these animals, and God says, you know why all that's beautiful? You know why all that's good? You know why it's all varied? Brother James Knox, every now and then, scuba diving or whatever he does. I don't know what he does. He gets down there and he takes pictures of all these weird fish. Man, there's some weird stuff down in those. You know why? Because it's a demonstration of the goodness of God. God made all types of things in the world to show his goodness. And they taste good too. Yeah. It's not only good to look at them, it's good to eat them. Every creature of God is good. And to be received with thanksgiving. Now, some of them I might have a problem with, but I'll have to pray a little longer over some of the creatures. But they're good. God made that savory meat to taste that way. You know what? Your food could taste like cardboard, and to live you would still have to eat it. You know, I don't think we even stop to think how good a God is. He gave us things just for our own enjoyment, for our own pleasure and satisfaction. I mean, that T-bone steak and that pork chop, amen, and that piece of fish and those crab legs and all that's so different. Isn't it different? You know why God did it? Because he's just a good God. And for you people that don't really like that, okay, how about the cauliflower and the broccoli and, right? Oh, that's all different too. Guys, it didn't have to be that way. God put time and effort into the creation of the world. And he stepped back and he said, boy, that's good. That's good. He didn't have to make a blue sky and green grass. He did that because he's good. He did that so you can go out and you can look. He didn't have to make a beautiful fireball in the sky that comes up with rose and orange and all different colors, and it breaks it. And man sits there and takes pictures of it, and they go honeymoon. They sit on the beach or they watch the sun go up or watch the sun come down. Wow, you need to connect that with God. That's the goodness of God in all the world. Everything he did was good. He made it so perfect. You couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. When man tries to make something, he messes it up. And even if he tried, he couldn't do that. The towering mountains and the snow caps there coming down. You look at that. Why is all that there? Because God's a good God. He made something good. And he made Adam. You know what he said? He said, something's not good. Not about Adam. Adam was perfectly made. But he says, it's not good that he's alone. So I'm so good, I'm going to make him a help. I'm going to make him something that's going to bring joy in his life and gladness in his life. I'm going to bring love into his life because I want to continue to show my goodness to man. Have you ever thought about your own self? You know, it's amazing how people, they can't count the goodness of God. You know that air you breathe, that's not yours, that's God's. God made that. You know, God could have made a world that was like the universe. And we could have all been floating around, you know, trying to grab stuff. God made gravity. You know why he made gravity? Because he's good. He wants you to be able to walk around. All these people wanting to go into outer space. Who wants to do that? Oh, I want to do that. Oh, you want to float around like a... I don't want to do that. I want my feet on the ground. God did that because he's a good God. And you breathe his air. And you eat his food. And you enjoy his sunshine. And you partake of his streaming brook. People talk about, oh, we need to keep the water and the environment. Oh, that's God's. God's the caretaker of the world. And if he made it, he can take care of it. And he says he will, by the way, until he desires to burn it up. But God's a good God. And even that you got out of bed this morning shows how good he is. You know, I talked about all those things. I always get on food because when I sit down and I start writing out the goodness of God, you know, somewhere it comes back to food. I don't know. I just, you know what God did when he made you? He put taste buds on your mouth. You know, he didn't have to do that. God did not have to do that. And so what do you can taste sour things. Some of these people love sour. These kids go around all these sour things. They like that. You can taste sour things. You can taste savory things. You can taste sweet things. You know, every time you get a dessert out and take a bite of dessert and you enjoy that sweet dessert, you know, you all stop and say, thank you, God, for being so good. I couldn't even taste this without the goodness of God that you put in my mouth. We go through life and we don't even think of the goodness of God. I had a little problem this week. I'm straining, working a little bit, and my eye messed up, and I've been seeing floaters ever since in one eye. But you know what I thought this morning when I was thinking about the goodness of God? God, thank you that I can see. The next time that you are tempted to complain about everything in your life, stop and say, God, thank you for being so good to me that I can see. Thank you for being so good to me that I can hear. He didn't have to give you hearing. He didn't have to give you sight. He didn't have to give you a brain that functioned. He didn't have to give you a husband or a wife or children or friends or a church. He didn't have to give you of his good spirit. God didn't have to do any of that stuff. He did it because he's good. And the goodness of God extends to man and it fills the whole earth. And you know what? He's still good to the same people that hate him. He's still good to the same people that curse his name. He's still good to people that will never worship him or never read his word. Why? Because God is just an overwhelming good God. His goodness fills the earth and he's good continually. You know what he said in Psalm 107? Four times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his marvelous works to the children of men. And I'm telling you this morning, in a broken world, in a devil-deceived world, you will faint in life unless you believe that the goodness of the Lord is found in the land of the living. God's good to you. You know what? God's goodness satisfies. He says in Jeremiah 31:14, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Maybe you're not satisfied this morning because you've not been thinking about the goodness of God. He said in Psalm 65, verse 4, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Isn't God a good God to give us a church? To give us a place we can worship him, that we have a safe place, a place that's filled with the Spirit of God and the songs of God. What a wonderful satisfaction comes to our lives with the goodness of his house. And it'll not only extend down here, it'll extend when we get to his house up there. He daily loadeth us with benefits. we don't even thank him for them. I bet you didn't thank God for your indoor plumbing today. But I bet you would have complained if you had to go out in the outhouse this morning about 4 o'clock. Right? Why do you not have to do it? Because God's good to you. Why do you have a nice bed to sleep in? You say, well, I bought that. Well, who gave you the brain to be able to work to make the money to buy that? He says, what do you have that you haven't received? He made your hands to work. He made your feet to work. He keeps your muscles healthy. You could be in a hospital somewhere this morning with a brain tumor, and the only reason you're not is because God's been good to you. Your whole life could be a devastatingly destroyed, and your children could be in St. Jude somewhere. And the only reason they're not is because God is a good God to you. And you say, what about those people that have experienced that? God's been good to them in other areas. God's a good God. Have you stopped to thank him for that? Look at Romans chapter 2, would you? I think before we can ever entertain the fact of the Spirit of God bringing goodness out of our lives, we have to first understand the goodness of God in our own lives. As you're turning to Romans chapter 2, you know what I believe? I believe this, that the Spirit of God cannot produce goodness in your life as a fruit unless you're first recognizing His goodness. I mean, people that are complaining and discouraged and mad and all that, goodness of God's not flowing out of their life. And the reason that they're that way is because they don't understand how good God's been to them. I tell you what, most of you in here profess to be saved, if not all of you. I don't know how many of you. When you get to heaven, you're going to look around and say, I can't believe you are so good to me, God. And if God gives you the chance to look back in your life, and I'm sure he will, because the tears don't get wiped away till later, by the way. That's toward the end of the book. And you give a chance to look back on your life, and you look back on your life and you say, I just can't believe that I didn't recognize how good God was to me in life and now eternity. You know how many people right now are meeting underground in fear, and we can't acknowledge the goodness of God? You didn't come to church in fear this morning. You didn't come to church thinking somebody's going to kill your kids because you believe in Jesus Christ. God is so good to you. You don't have to be afraid to open your Bible and read it. No, we don't read it because we're controlled by the flesh. God's good to you. And he's so good to you, it ought to make you want to do this. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 3, Romans 2, verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Man is consummately judging other people, even though they're guilty in their own lives. Now look at the next verse. These judging human beings. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Here's an individual who's got a hard heart, hates God, is unrepentant in their life. And you know what God does? God has long suffering. He puts up with them. He continues to be good to them. He continues to rain upon the just and the unjust. He continues to let their body work. He continues to not let disease rack their body. He doesn't squash them like a bug. If it was in your power, if it was in my power, and somebody was constantly cursing you day and night and trying to hurt you or hurt your family, you'd take those people out. And God doesn't do that. Why? He's a good God. He wants to heal man. He doesn't want to destroy him. And the Bible says God's goodness and his forbearance, he just keeps putting up with it and putting up with it. We don't thank him. We don't praise him. We just go through life like we deserve all this. But he forbears with us. He's long-suffering with us. But he says that goodness of God, where it ought to lead us to repentance. It all leads to a place of, God, I don't deserve this. I'm a sinner. I know who I am. I don't deserve a wonderful family. I don't deserve a church that prays for me. I don't deserve a perfect Bible because I'm an imperfect person. I don't deserve all these beautiful colors you made and all these things in my body that work and fulfill my life and give me pleasure and joy. I don't deserve any of that. And God, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry that I've not thanked you. I'm sorry that I've not praised you. I'm sorry that I don't love you like I ought to love you. I'm sorry, Lord, I repent. You're good, and I'm just not. And I'm sorry for that. He says the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. God was so good to Israel. He continued to be good to them when they were not thankful. He put up with them for 40 years in the wilderness, and he continued, you know, listen. Even while they're complaining, the manna's still showing up on the ground. Even when they're wanting to reject Moses and go back to Egypt, he's still bringing the water out of the rock to let them drink. Even when they rise up and they're going to worship false gods, their shoes still don't wear out. God still provides for them and gives them safety. And the cloud never leaves. And the pillar of fire never leaves. Why? Why could God keep doing that with Israel? Just because he's good. But there did come a time after years and years and years, and even in the kingdom of Israel, hundreds of years, and God told him and he came to him, I gave you lands you couldn't have done this. I gave you vineyards you didn't grow. I gave you houses. You know, that's a great thing. When the children of Israel moved in the promised land, you know what? They got the houses were already there. How'd you like that? How'd you like to move in a land and God kills and kicks all the people out and you just get to take all their stuff? God did all that for Israel because he's good to them. And God sent prophets to them. I was good to you. I was good to you. And I fed you. And I clothed you. And I took care of you. And yet you keep turning from me and turning from me and turning from me. In Romans chapter 11, he talks about the goodness of God to Israel. And then the goodness on us as the Gentiles. The goodness of God on the church. We didn't. If anybody never deserved all this stuff from God, it's us, we who are Gentiles. And yet he grafted us in. But you know what he said? He said, you better take heed. Remember the goodness of God to Israel? That's how God's being good to you. But remember the severity that happened because they didn't appreciate his goodness. Remember what happened to Israel in their life. You know, they sung this morning, Gentle Shepherd. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a shepherd? He's the good shepherd. And he's the great shepherd. And he's the chief shepherd. He's such a shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. You know why? Because he's good. He leads me beside the. You know why he does that beside the still waters? Because he's good. You know why he restores my soul? Because he's good. You know why he prepares a table before me? Because he's good. And he anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over because he's so good. And this is with all this goodness, he says, by the way, I'm going to make sure that goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. And we may not acknowledge it. We may not appreciate it. We may not thank him for it. We may not repent because of it. But I'm telling you, all along your pathway as a child of God, goodness has always been on your trail. Goodness has always been following you. Mercy and goodness has always been at the back of your life. God's goodness is there. Couldn't we stop and acknowledge that goodness? Because really, my second thing I want to say to you, God's good. But man is not. You say, preacher, I know people that try to be good. Well, here's the problem. When man tries to be good, usually there's something behind that. There's a motive behind that. There is, I'm getting something out. In other words, if I'll be good enough to you, you know, if I'll help Daniel and be good enough to Daniel and be a friend to him and talk to him and help him, just maybe when I need him, he'll come over and help me with my leaves. Right? That's not why. But when we're good to somebody, usually we get something out of it. Usually there's something connected that has to do with me about it. In other words, usually I'm not just good just to be good. I'm good because it benefits me if I'm good. You know, we're good in our relationship sometimes with one another because we want that relationship to work. We're still getting something out of the goodness, but not God. Man is not good. The Bible tells you that. There is none that doeth good. You say, well, I know I've done this. People have done these good things. That's why you need to be saved. Because when you put your goodness and compare it to what real goodness is, which is God's goodness, it's not good anymore. It's a bad apple. Even if man tries to be good, he'll just be good for a little while and then he'll go back to being bad. He didn't know what goodness is. A man came to Jesus one day and said, good master, what good thing do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said one of the most profound things. He said, why callest thou me good? And then he said this to the man. There is none good but one. And that is God. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that none of us in here are good. There's only one that's good, and that's God. But if we'll let His goodness into our heart, if we'll trust that good Savior, if we'll believe on the good Redeemer, if we'll let the good Spirit of God come into our heart and develop something in our life, we'll never be good. But the goodness of the Lord can come through me, but it can only come through me through God, because I'll never be good. David, in Psalm 144, he talked about God being his fortress, and you know how he said the rock, his rock and all this stuff. But you know one of the things that David said about God? He said, God is my goodness. David acknowledged there was nothing good about his life except what God had produced in him. So I'm asking a question. Are you letting God produce and bring forth his goodness out of your life? Because we're not good. We just fail miserably. You can look at our world. You say, why? And it's so mixed up. People look at our world and they blame God for it instead of blaming man for it. It's man that's ruined this country, not God. It's man that ruins families, not God. It's people that ruin their own lives, not God. God doesn't do that for them. Man is the one that is inherently not good. He says this in Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find. You know what he said? He says, you're a liar. You go around telling everybody how good you are, and we know that you're not a faithful individual. You know what the Apostle Paul, probably one of the best men that ever lived. I mean, you talk about a committed individual, Apostle Paul was. You know what he said? Listen. Romans 7, he said this. How to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I can't do it. I can't figure out how to be good. You know why? Because you can't do it and he couldn't do it. None of us could do it. Only God is good. And we've got to let the Holy Ghost control our life, or there's nothing good that's going to come out of our life. He said, preacher, I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good child. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good member of society. I want to be a good church member. We can't do it. But if we'll yield ourselves to a good God and let the Spirit of God develop our character, then we can be all of those things. But only if he's in charge, not if we're in charge. The Bible says, we're wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. The Spirit of God must produce goodness in you. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The last thing I want to say to you this morning. God's good. Man is not. But he can work goodness in your life. You know what he says about a virtuous woman? He says a virtuous woman, that virtuous wife. In Proverbs 31 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, you can only do that with God Almighty.
But listen, guys, that's why unless we're right with God, we can't be good anything. We can't be good workers. We can't be good Christians. We can't be good in our families. We need God. And I'm telling you guys, we go through life not depending on Him, not begging for His good, His Spirit to control us, to work in our lives. And we go through life like we got this, and you don't have this. None of us do. But He can work that goodness in your life.
You know what goodness is? It's favor shown in a desire to promote the happiness of another. And this is why we have such a problem with goodness. Because we live the self life. We're interested in people being good to us, or we're good to others in the attempt to get something good out of it, but it's still us. Goodness is showing favor to someone else for their happiness, for their help. And when we are so absorbed with self, we never do that. And goodness doesn't come out of our lives. You say, preacher, how can God promote goodness coming out of my life? How can that happen? Well, I'll tell you this, and this, a lot of people are messed up in their minds about this. Goodness is not being good is not being right. Righteousness and goodness are two different things. In other words, God is righteous, is He not? God is always right. Is that right? Everything he says is right. You know He could be that way and never be good to you? God can be right with you and not good to you. Are you following me? Being right and being good is not the same. And sometimes we get that mixed up in our mind. We say, well, I'm doing right. And I believe right. And I'm living right. That's not the same as being good. You ought to do right. You ought to live right. You ought to believe right. But that's not the same as goodness. And this is the problem. Some people think because they have the right doctrine and they have the right lifestyle that they have goodness in their life. And that's not true. You can be doctrinally right and you can have everything right as far as how you live and how, and not be good to anybody. You understand? And that's where we draw the lines. Oh, I know I'm right, and this is right. Yes, but what about being good? What about showing goodness? I'm going to close in Luke chapter 6. Would you go there? This is a text that Bible-believing Christians don't like to read. So they do what they do with other things. Sometimes they put it in another dispensation because it's too hard to swallow. But I want to remind you what the epistles say. In the general epistles, it says that we're to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So let's remember them now. In Luke chapter 6, really Jesus was talking to them about goodness. And of course, none of us can do that on our own. God's got to work it through us. You'll never be good without Jesus Christ. But look what he says. Drop down to verse 27. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do, what's that word? Do good to them which what? Now, are you understanding what goodness is about? Let me ask you a question. What do you get out of being good to somebody that hates you? Nothing. You say, well, then why do I need to be good to somebody that hates me? Because you need to be showing the goodness of God like He's showing in your life. You need God's character, not your character. Keep reading, 28. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Look at verse 33. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. What I'm trying to tell you is when the character of God, His goodness, is developed in your life, you're not just being good to people that are good to you.
Listen to me. So many times people quit being good to others because they've been mistreated, they've been hurt. That is not goodness. Goodness is, I want you to be happy. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be pleased. I want to put a smile on your face. It doesn't matter how I feel. Because the goodness of God in me, I want to show that to you. And if we can only be good to those that are good to us, we don't even know what goodness is. When I started studying this message, I said, boy, this is going to be a bore, Lord. Goodness. When I get to the end of it, in my heart, I'm thinking, you know what? God, I've not acknowledged how good you've been to me. And I've really failed in my goodness to others. But the Spirit of God can produce that in you.